Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Hart, Scott Anderson, 97.1. All right, AJ Hinch was on our morning show, and they did a great job asking very pointed questions about decisions that he makes, and it's always good to hear his perspective because you realize that there's logic, I mean, even if you disagree with it, and a lot of people do, there's logic behind what he tries to do. But with that stated, let's get to the best of what he told our morning show. And we start with this. What's the biggest difference between May and June? Here's what the Tiger manager had to say.
Difference. I mean, you can go down any path you want. We're generally throwing better strikes. I know last night wasn't great. Our offense does sort of round out a little bit when you have Glaber get on base and Karp has the big swings, and it just feels a lot better to have a longer lineup. Our defense has been better. I love watching Kevin at third. You know, it's been by having Karp come back. We have an extra outfielder, so I can move Kinstry around a little bit and make Kevin be a third, and Z-Mac and Shorty can be at shortstop. And so just things are syncing up a lot better the way we planned. You know, we've obviously hit the ball out of the ballpark a lot more in June than we did in May. So sum all that up, it's just better baseball.
A couple things here. This is a poker player sitting at a table with more chips. He's got more chips that he can bet the way he wants on his guys. And second, not literally, by the way, I'm not implying that AJ Hinch is gambling. and secondly, the McGonagall thing's fascinating because a year ago we were talking about this great stick they had down in the minors. The question was, can he field anywhere? Well, he's fielding just fine, isn't he?
He's fielding great. And the plays he made last night at third base were fantastic. We've seen him make spectacular plays at shortstop as well. He's really a complete player. I can't say enough good things about Kevin McGonigal. He's the guy on the team that you want now and in a clutch situation because you feel like he's going to give you a tremendous at-bat. He has a knowledge of the strike zone. He doesn't swing out of it too often. There's a lot to like.
In the meantime, we have seen it. He has seen it and felt it. The ups and downs of a team that everybody is streaky in Major League Baseball. It's just the nature of the sport. It feels like the Tigers are streakier than most. It's a team that spent the first half of the season last year looking like, hey, is this the best team in baseball? We kind of knew they weren't, but they sure were acting like it. And then they spent the month of May looking like one of the worst Tiger teams ever. So what's up with the makeup of this team with the streaky play? Here's what AJ Hinch had to say.
You know, a lot of it centers around the swing and miss. I mean, last night going in against this bullpen with the Twins, I wouldn't have seen 14 strikeouts. You know, we do have, you know, sort of a wild range of outcomes that can happen. And it's hard to pinpoint. You know, I know sometimes we get a little bit greedy with damage and don't take what the game comes with us. You know, defensively, I it's just not in our DNA. We should not be as streaky defensively as we've been. And same with the strike throwing. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are high-end strike throwers who have sort of tried to nitpick. Maybe it's all tied together to losing baseball in May kind of makes guys behave a little differently. But you're right. It's gone back a couple of years where we've had these massive streaks one way or the other. And if you think it's maddening for you, you should live behind the scenes day to day.
But you don't ride the roller coaster. We do.
you do. I know. No, you're right. I jump off that thing. I mean, behind the scenes, I probably ride it more than I show you. I get as frustrated as anyone, but I know that this team is talented. I know the hole we've dug ourselves, but I also know what June has shown, which is, you know, we've got a pretty good team when we can put it together, and those good times remind you of what we're trying to accomplish.
You know, earlier in the interview, he had a quote, "I'm trying to avoid massive reactions to a loss." And whatever he was doing didn't work in May. It could be lineup related more than anything, but at the end of the day, that's kind of the job of a manager, is to be a rudder, even keeled, and make sure the guys aren't panicking.
Well, that is true. And I think that it's good to point that out. I think it's one of the things I really like about him. He doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. Even when he does these interviews, and it had to be tough coming on the air through the month of May when the team was losing like they were, but he kept his composure and kept telling you the logic behind what he was doing. You can disagree with it all you want, and that's fine. I understand his philosophy in the pinch hitting, and I don't have a problem with it. The problem I have is who he's using.
Well, let's get to that. Do you rethink how aggressive you are with the pinch hitting? Jim Costa asked that question directly. AJ was ready to explain his thinking, and here's what he said.
I think we just don't like it when it doesn't work, because I understand sort of the assumption that it would have been better. It doesn't make it more of an advantage for Carp or Colt or those lefties coming in. We had it with Seattle as well, and we need to continue to take advantage of that advantage and get some production out of that. But I last night, Vierling's at bat in the ninth, as an example, was out in 13 ballparks, I think. Just not ours. So, right. That would have been a three-run homer. And so I understand the sort of range of emotions of, like, you could have predicted three innings later there's going to be a leverage spot for a lefty against a righty. You know, we've got to take advantage of the matchups that we have with how the roster's built and where our strengths are. And, so rethink it. I still believe that's the best way to go for this particular team. I've given a couple of bats to these lefties. But when we have a chance to, given how the run scoring has been, not in June, but for predominantly the whole season, I just don't think it's smart to miss on those advantages when we have them. Because I think, a lot of times when guys, why are they bringing the lefty in? Some people would say they want to get Carp or Colt out. The others would say, right now getting the righties in, our righties have struggled. But it's going to turn, and we're going to stay with that process when we can. I'll move the batting order a little bit. I may hit Ding behind Carp today, which makes it a little more difficult with as much as their lefties have pitched recently. But I try not to get too caught up in the results. Stay with the process. Trust here the way the team's built and where the strengths are on the team, and remind myself it doesn't make it easier for those lefties to face lefties just because we don't like when the righties get out.
It's interesting what he had to say there to me is that basically right now it's a win-win situation to have left-handed pitching against the Detroit Tigers, because it's a win-win. You've got a better matchup pitching against Carpenter and Keith. Mm-hmm. And it's also a win because if the Tigers counter with who they have off the bench, they're not doing well either. So it works both ways. If people want to see more at-bats from Colt Keith and Kerry Carpenter, I understand it in theory. These guys are only going to get better at hitting left-handed pitching when they see more left-handed pitching. But they're a combined 2-for-20 this year against left-handers. They're each 1-for-10. So as much as we don't like the alternative, the alternative has fared slightly better, but it has been better. And it's an advantage nonetheless, and A.J. Hinch is looking for any advantage he can get, but I think he's going to have to start looking elsewhere for an advantage.
I mean, the one thing we have to remind ourselves is while Kerry Carpenter and Cole Keith are amongst probably Detroit's more reliable hitters in spite of Keith's struggles, he's not a weakness. He is what he is, right?
He's only got 7 runs driven in this year?
That's crazy.
He's played... plays most games.
He's had good bat-to-ball skills, too, but he's having struggles this year. But those guys are getting pinch hit for because they're not Luis Arraez, right? They're not guys who are great. They're not Riley Green. They're not Shohei Ohtani. They are what they are, and he's trying to keep them in situations where they can continue to be productive, and it's working in some guys' cases than the other, more so than others. The overall pinch hitters for the Tigers this year have been dreadful. They've hit 129 with a 426 on base, or OPS. The one thing that's crazy, though, is pinch hitting in general, the reward for it, I mean, the best team in majors in terms of batting average is Tampa. They're hitting 273 as pinch hitters. There's only like a handful of teams hitting above 250. Even when the Tigers were top 10 in the last 2 years in terms of production, batting average OPS, their numbers were like 245, 250 in that range. So pinch hitting in general, the reward isn't great across the board, but they were way better in previous years and was with many of the same guys. And one of those guys is Jamai Jones. And that's the one that gets the most scrutiny. And you've been on this for a couple of weeks. What AJ had to say about Jamai's use was interesting because they did ask him specifically, okay, what about this guy who is supposed to be able to hit those lefties and he's not at all? Here is what AJ Hinch had to say.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to go to Cleveland this weekend. They're going to probably call up a lefty to make it more difficult on us. We're going to go to Houston right after that. I think they have three or four lefties in their pen, you know, with their lefty closer with Hader. So, you know, we definitely need these right-handed bats to answer the challenge of that. And Jamai is included in that. You know, he just missed a ball last night, hit a ball pretty hard into the air. He has hit the ball fairly hard in June. The numbers on the scoreboard are never going to look good for the next, or shouldn't say never, or for the next foreseeable future. It's hard to dig out of that hole that he's in. I don't think it makes him less of a threat, but we need him to produce in order for, you know, for these moves and the advantages that we do get to actually be an advantage and help us out.
Okay, when he talks about the numbers are going to look ugly, they're messed up. He's, what is he hitting, 188 or whatever it is. His point is, you're going to see his batting average or his OPS, and it's not going to be impressive. He's focused on what he's going to do next.
Yeah.
But it was interesting that he pointed out all the left-handed pitching they're going to see in the next two series. I don't know if he would admit this, but we heard that and both felt like he's kind of given a timeline on Jamai, and he's punctuating it with, we need him to produce.
Yeah, and it's obvious because the philosophy that he has is sound. You know, take advantage with you have an opportunity here with a right-handed hitter against left-handed pitching. You want to use that. Absolutely. But Jamai Jones hasn't gotten the job done. He got the job done tremendously last year, and I think that's what he's hanging on to is he's still the same player. He's just not having the same fortunes and results this year. Well, he's encouraged by some hard hit, maybe a hard hit rate, but in the end, the ball's not falling on the turf, so I think he needs to look elsewhere. And I'm looking at Corey Jolks from Toledo because he's a guy who's a veteran player. He's 30 years old. He's right-handed. He's killing left-handed pitching at Toledo right now with over a 1,000 OPS last I checked, which was a couple days ago. I think he's got 12 home runs this year too. And he's not a guy that you're counting on to be the future of the Tigers. So you shouldn't worry you too much that he's only going to, you know, maybe get a start every four games and get an at-bat every couple games or whatever the situation provides. I'm not worried about that. I'd be more worried about that if you're going to bring up, you know, Max Anderson to do that or Max Clark,
right?
Because you want those guys to play every
get
day.
Get at-bats.
I'm not looking for an everyday bat. Yeah. I'm looking for a once-a-game bat.
Well, we had a listener do a little digging and come up with why Corey Jolks might not have been called up yet. We will get to that today at 12:32. It's Carson Anderson, Open Lines, Tiger Baseball coming up this afternoon here on 97.1.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.